Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll see how organizations across the state are joining forces to support our troops, and we'll meet the new director of the Minneapolis VA. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week marks the third anniversary of the death of a great leader, General Vang Pao. Will be known in history books as a charismatic commander of the Secret Army who fought alongside the Americans in the Vietnam War. Even more memorable than his many wartime heroics, General Vang Pao was passionate about improving the lives of Hmong people. Throughout the Vietnam War, he was instrumental in building schoolhouses and establishing health clinics in remote Hmong villages in Laos. He also opened the door for gender equality by insisting that female students be recruited to fill the nurse troop. General Vang Pao established the first ever teacher training program for Hmong students. It created a pool of qualified teachers who were dispersed throughout the countryside. In America, some 35 years after most Hmong fled war-torn Laos, General Vang Pao's leadership and influence never disappeared. He was instrumental in helping to pass the Hmong Veterans Naturalization Act of 2000. It directly helped to elect Hmong Americans into key political offices, giving them representation in their new country. General Vang Pao lived a full life dedicated to making the lives of the Hmong and all Americans better.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and the Yellow Ribbon Readiness Services Executive Officer, Major John Wisniewski. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Annette, seems like you've been working on the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program for a number of years now, and we've talked about it on the radio several times. Can you tell our listeners what is the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program? Where did it start, and how many years have you been at it?
Well, Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program really started in 2008 when we challenged Minnesota communities to help synchronize their efforts and their resources in support of service members, veterans, and military families. Since that time, over 254 communities, counties, and companies have formed Yellow Ribbon networks across Minnesota to support our service members and their families.
You've been busy.
Been very busy with help from the good working Minnesotans here in the state that have been able to really coordinate and synchronize all of their community resources to make a difference.
Annette, what is the mission of a local community Yellow Ribbon organization?
The mission is to support, honor, and recognize any service member, veteran, or military family resident that lives in their community. And they do this in many different ways, from in their school district, identifying military children, to their faith-based communities, and creating training for resources for public safety and school administrators to ensure that we are connecting all the resources that we have available in our Minnesota communities, as well as identifying the needs of service members and veterans and their families.
So sometimes just to provide help, something as simple as maybe sharing a cup of coffee and some cookies or shoveling snow, mowing the lawn, anything they need.
Absolutely. We have found mentors for service members, returning service members who are looking for work. We have been able to identify elderly or isolated veterans who need some help getting rides to the VA or get connected to medical services. And we have been able to support our military children across the state by just ensuring that the school administrators know what kinds of resources are available to tap into for those kids.
Major Wisniewski, I think when you were on the show about a year ago, you had just returned from a deployment. How important is it for our deployed airmen and soldiers to know that the Yellow Ribbon networks are back here to help take care of their families?
Well, it's really comforting knowing that that they're still cared for and that their families are being taken care of while they're overseas.
And, sir, we talked about this last week with the Adjutant General. A few years ago when the 2,700 Red Bulls were out, it was in the news. Everybody was talking about all the soldiers that were over in Kuwait and helping withdraw from Iraq. But there's still, I think he told us, about 900 folks deployed across the state. And even if there's one or two deployed, their families still can use some help, can't they?
Right. There are many needs that these Yellow Ribbon networks are able to identify and help support them. So that's, and every individual is different. So their needs, once they alert their Yellow Ribbon network, they're usually able to respond very quickly to assist them.
So it's got to be very comforting if you're overseas knowing that there is a support network in place. Just because you can't just drop everything and fly back home. It takes about 24 hours and you can't leave anyway, right?
Right. Depending on where you're, it might take a lot longer than that. But you're absolutely right. It's, you know, besides their individual support network that each soldier has, the broader base Yellow Ribbon network that is there assisting them as well is very comforting.
We're speaking with the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and the Yellow Ribbon Readiness Services Executive Officer, Major John Wisniewski, on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, when you were involved in the first Yellow Ribbon community, did you have any idea how this was going to evolve?
I had no idea. I was a military mother, and my son had deployed, and I was just looking for ways that I could help within my own community. So the first Yellow Ribbon Network was started in my hometown of Farmington, Minnesota, in which we partnered with the Minnesota National Guard to help create the program as it is today. And since that time, we have had so many communities that have formed cross-community steering committees and submitted an action plan of how they're going to support to the state of Minnesota.
And the Yellow Ribbon program, when it started out, it was to help the returning soldiers and airmen get back into society and get home and adjust to being back as a civilian.
Right. When the program first started in 2008, that was its purpose, to really help our transitioning service members who were experiencing deployment. But we soon found out how valuable our community Yellow Ribbon networks were. So it didn't take us long to challenge those networks to support veterans of any age, of any era. And they have accepted our challenge and have risen to the occasion in identifying any veteran that needs services or support in our Minnesota communities.
And Annette, it's my understanding that this was all developed in Minnesota, but the Guard Bureau liked it so much that they wanted to spread it to other states. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have definitely been working with the National Guard Bureau, as well as Michelle Obama's Joining Forces team, to take a look at what communities can do. And they have reached out to us from Washington to have us share best practices of our program with other states. And there isn't a week that goes by that I don't get a call from another state, and we share everything with them, how our program is working, our sustainment factors that we have for all of our networks, as well as some great best practices that our networks have been able to show across the state.
Major, it must be great to be a member of the Minnesota National Guard and know that we've got a tremendous readiness status when we're called out to duty and being deployed and leading the way in the nations to help take care of the families.
Right. It's when I've been deployed twice now, and the most recent one to Afghanistan, we received so much support while we were deployed with care packages and love from everybody back here in Minnesota. We would help stock the shelves for the whole camp that I was on, because we did receive so much outpouring of support, and people were really amazed, the civilian contractors or the other military members and all the other different nations that were there, of how much love and care that we were given from Minnesota.
So you spread the wealth.
We had a lot to spread, but yes, we sure did.
Annette, one of the other things that's involved with your program is you talk about other organizations such as the Family Assistance Centers, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, all of the organizations really that have sprung up to help military families and help support our troops and their families. And you're right at the center of it, aren't you?
Absolutely. My role as a civilian on the Adjutant General staff is really to help ensure that all those organizations are connected and that we are synchronizing our effort. Before the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon started in Minnesota, we had so many initiatives going on through state agencies, federal programs, nonprofit organizations. And now with the Yellow Ribbon networks, we've really been able to coordinate and synchronize those efforts, as well as educate them on what the needs are of our veteran and service member community. And so we've been able to really match the need to the services that they're able to provide.
And you've got so many of these Yellow Ribbon networks now, would you say to over 250, is that right?
Yes, about 254 Yellow Ribbon networks across Minnesota.
Do you find that they're hungry for information about all the different support groups and how to pull them together?
Definitely. They want to learn what are the needs so they can meet the needs. They want to connect with military families within their community and veterans within their community to know how they can help, and they are hungry for that kind of information.
We have to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a series of events that are going to happen in 2014 to pull all of those communities together and show them how they can all work together. We're speaking with the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and the Yellow Ribbon Readiness Services Executive Officer, Major John Wisniewski, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon network and program, and we've been joined today by the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and the Yellow Ribbon Readiness Services Executive Officer, Major John Wisniewski from the Minnesota National Guard. Annette, I know that as you've been building all of these networks, 250 or so around the state, that periodically you've been getting a lot of those folks together so that they can exchange best practices and tell each other all the things that they've been doing to help support the families. Last year, I believe you had a series of summits for that, didn't you?
Yes, we brought them all together for three reasons, really, to share best practices, to allow them to network and meet other Yellow Ribbon Network community volunteers, and to update them on initiatives that were happening across the state to ensure that we have brought them all together and synchronized their efforts.
And how was that received? Were they hungry for that information?
They loved the information. They came from all across the state, and they were ecstatic with all the wonderful things that were happening across Minnesota, and were educated on the kinds of programming that we have across the state.
And Annette, I understand that this year that you're expanding on that, and you're going to have a series of meetings, and you're also doing it with, you call it joining community forces. Can you tell us where that came from?
Right. So joining community forces is really the National Guard's effort to really bring communities to do what we've been doing since 2008. And it is also a program of the First Ladies. Joining community forces and joining forces is really asking communities across the nation to coordinate and synchronize their resources in support of service members and military families. Well, of course, we here in Minnesota have been doing that since 2008 anyway. So we're giving it a new name. Our Yellow Ribbon Summits are now being called Joining Community Forces Minnesota, in which we are not only bringing the Yellow Ribbon networks together, but we're combining that with service providers across the state to know about each other, to work together on the needs that we have across the state, and to hear about their combined initiatives.
So, Major, it sounds like you're going to have a series of meetings across the state, and we're calling this Joining Communities Forces Minnesota Seminars this year. It's a big effort in trying to exchange lots of ideas and let people network?
It is. It's a big effort. We've been working very closely with Annette and several people from the National Guard to put these together, the State Family Programs Office, the Family Assistance Centers, Risk Reduction Resilience, Suicide Prevention Team, to come up with a way that we can broadcast our messages out there further for people that want more information. Also, one of the big groups that will be participating this year is the Inter-Service Family Assistance Committees. Those are the ISFACs, we call them. They have been holding their regional meetings as well, and they've been providing a lot of support and a lot of care for our service members. So we're joining the Yellow Ribbon Networks and the ISFACs together to talk to one another and to share what they're all about and what they can provide to the community.
And Annette, do you have, are there several different things you hope to achieve at these seminars?
Yes, we are going to be offering 5 across the state between February and May. And what we hope to achieve is really to update them on initiatives that are happening and make sure that they are aware of some of the things that are happening in support of service members and veterans and their families across the state, as well as allow them breakout sessions to delve deeper into some topics that they might want to be aware of or they have asked for as Yellow Ribbon Networks.
So they're going to exchange some best practices and maybe throw out a few case studies. I had a problem like this for one family. How did we handle it? And get to meet each other.
Yes, they're going to network. They are going to hear about how to market their Yellow Ribbon Network. They're going to hear about a new program and partnership we have with our faith-based organizations across Minnesota. They are going to hear from our county veteran service officers on needs that are specific to that region. And they're going to hear from our workforce centers, our veteran employment reps at Minnesota Workforce Centers who are seeing these veterans and know the kinds of needs they have for employment.
We've been speaking this morning about joining Community Forces Minnesota with Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and Yellow Ribbon Readiness Services Executive Officer, Major John Wisniewski, on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, how many of these meetings are you going to have and where are they going to be?
We are going to have 5 starting in February 8th, and the first one will be in Bloomington, and we'll have another one in Mankato, Detroit Lakes, Marshall, and Duluth. These are all being held on a Saturday from 8 to 2. It's a jam-packed day of information and networking and building relationships, and we will be crossing the state, and we'd like anybody who supports service members or veterans to attend.
And we'll have a link to those cities and dates on our Facebook page at Minnesota Military Radio, or you can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on events and deals to find information and to sign up to go to the meetings. Who's eligible? Who do you want at the meetings?
Well, anybody that wants to do good for service members across the state, that's who we're asking to come there and share what they have been doing and or to get involved with a local ISFAC or a Yellow Ribbon Network and just participate and keep the goodwill that has been shown since these wars began and to continue on. The needs continue, and they'll continue for a long time. So we're just asking anybody that would like to do well and support the veterans and the service members across the state, please come.
Annette, can you tell us what a typical day is going to look like?
A typical day is going to look like we will have opening remarks from a local military leader just to share a thank you and express their appreciation for all of the supporters that we have across Minnesota. Then we are going to give them an opportunity to get to know each other and build some relationships and know who's all there and exchange business cards or exchange contact information. At our general session, we will be talking about what are specific needs and resources for that particular region of the state. And we have been doing some comprehensive studying of the kinds of things that needs of military families and veterans across the state. And we're going to share that information with them. What is unique about Greater Minnesota or the metro area that we need their partnership on helping with? In addition, we will have breakout sessions, lunches included. This is free to anyone who wants to attend, and we will give them some lunch. And then we will have breakout sessions in which they can delve more into a specific topic, such as learning more about the faith-based program that we are implementing across the state and how churches can get involved with support to service members and veterans. We will have an opportunity in a breakout session for them to network. We will also have an opportunity for them to hear from county veteran service officers as well as ESGR, the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. And it'll just be an opportunity for them to share what they're doing, for them to hear about all the great initiatives that are happening across the state, and for them to meet service providers who are providing many of these kinds of programming.
Well, Ned, unlike 40 years ago when there weren't any of these organizations around, today there's a lot of different resources available. And it would be my guess that some of these Yellow Ribbon communities maybe aren't just up to date on all the resources that are there and how you coordinate those resources so that we don't duplicate efforts and so that they don't do things that there's already other organizations out there to do. Are you going to dig into that too?
Yes, absolutely. And we also want to support our Yellow Ribbon networks and show them how they can tap into resources that are already there that are able to really provide financial assistance like Minnesota Military Family Foundation and other organizations that are there that can provide financial assistance or support to veterans who need some help. And the Yellow Ribbon Networks, having them aware of that only increases our chances of synchronizing efforts and meeting the needs of these of this demographic.
Major, our Minnesota National Guard troops, Army and Air Force, are they pretty much aware today of all the resources available? For instance, if they get out of the service, go visit their county veteran service officer. If their family needs help, go to the Family Assistance Center. Go to their readiness of their unit. Are they pretty much trained and know where to go today?
During the Yellow Ribbon reintegration program, when units deploy or return, and during the deployment cycle, they're made aware of all these things. And it is an ongoing information campaign, if you will, to keep them informed of what is out there for them and what they are eligible for and what their families are eligible for. So we constantly send out reminders and information to all them of what they are available to receive.
Thank you, sir. Annette, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, we're asking any military, any veteran, any military family or service member to connect with their local Yellow Ribbon Network, just to let them know they live in the community and thank them for their support or to join their efforts as a volunteer. And attending one of these events would be a great way to start that.
And once again, it's Joining Community Forces Minnesota. We'll have a link to the information on that on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook, or you can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on events and deals. Major, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Right. This is not a National Guard event. It is all services, the Coast Guard, the Army Reserve, Air Force Reserve, Marine Reserve, Navy Reserve. We want them all to come here to sign up. So we've been sending out the notifications to the Yellow Ribbon Network coordinator, federal coordinator, that is our state rep, to get that information to them. So we're asking all services and all the people within their communities to come out there and support this event.
And Annette, one more time, it's open to all branches of service and all veterans, anyone in Minnesota that needs some help, come on out to these meetings.
Absolutely. We want to continue to coordinate our efforts that has made it successful in Minnesota.
Thank you both for joining us today, and I hope you have a great series of meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and the Yellow Ribbon Readiness Services Executive Officer, Major John Wisniewski, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back to meet the new director of the Minneapolis VA.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll meet the new director of the Minneapolis VA. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
In my role as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, I continue to work closely with the Minnesota Department team and our partners to serve more than 380,000 veterans across the state. Minnesota has a strong tradition of service to our veterans and their families. I'm truly honored and proud to be a part of this tradition as I enter my third year of service as Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We continue to collaborate with County Veterans Service Officers, the Commander's Task Force, and the United Veterans Legislative Councils and others to educate our state leaders on the department and how we work together to assist Minnesota's heroes. When I first started as Commissioner, I shared with you my vision for the department to serve as a safety net for veterans. Whether they are looking for on-the-job training, a need to help get some navigation through the federal claims process, or are ready to call one of our five state veterans' homes their home. I believe we live and breathe this mission each and every day, and am very proud of those around me who make this happen. On behalf of a grateful state and a grateful nation, to all of the veterans and families listening, thank you for your service. To all the employers, leaders, and community members who support Minnesota veterans, thank you for your dedication in making Minnesota great. I salute you.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is the new director of the Minneapolis VA, Patrick Kelly. Captain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Sir, I understand you spent a few years in the United States Navy.
I spent a few. I'm a 29-year veteran of the Navy, originally from Mankato, Minnesota, and retired almost 2.5 years ago now, so I'm back home.
Well, welcome back, sir. We're glad to have you, and now you're in charge of one of the best VA hospitals in the country, is by my way of thinking.
Well, thanks for saying that. I couldn't agree with you more. I feel very fortunate to be at a place where we're doing, we have very committed staff that's doing terrific work on behalf of veterans, and I couldn't be prouder of the work that we're doing over there.
Captain, you retired as a U.S. Navy captain. Could you tell us just a little bit about your career? 29 years, it looks like you've been all over the world.
Well, like most sailors, I was, I came into the Navy as an officer through an officer commissioning program and served 13 different duty stations, a couple times overseas, Philippines, Okinawa, Japan, Rota, Spain. I took the opportunity really for me and my family. I have two boys, my wife and two boys. For us to not only see the world, but to do some pretty good, interesting and exciting work while I was doing so. So I started out in Southern California and actually then retired out of Southern California a couple years ago. And in between, we served in all corners, served in Newport, Rhode Island a couple times, Washington, D.C. A few times, Southern California, great Pacific Northwest, a couple of tours. And as you can tell from those duty stations, those were great places to live and great places to serve. So I had a great Navy career. I was a healthcare administrator in the Navy. That was my work, and that was my training. I was trained at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and then joined the Navy and served in a variety of operational overseas and staff positions in hospitals, in the field, and at headquarters assignments. So. Great career, very diverse, and I feel very much prepared me for the work that I'm doing now.
So, Captain, all of those posts, all those years in the Navy were pretty much in medical posts?
You know, I served one tour with the Marine Corps when I was in Okinawa, Japan, three-year tour with the Marine Corps. I was the XO of a medical battalion while I was there. And my couple of staff tours in Washington, D.C., I was with the Secretary of Defense for 3 years, and I served a tour with the Navy's Bureau of Medicine and Surgery. All of which were doing healthcare-related work, but like I say, one of the great things about serving in the military and one of the great things about being in the Navy is the opportunity to do a wide different types of work, all of which was related to healthcare, all of which was related to serving sailors and being in the Navy. It's great work.
Captain, it looks like that body of work, 29 years in the Navy, retired as a U.S. Navy captain, really was pretty good training for your work now with the VA.
You know, my last 10 years in the Navy, I was a captain, and I had a chance to serve in a number of senior leadership positions, and I was in charge of hospitals. I was in charge of fleet hospitals in an operational environment, and so I feel very much prepared, very well prepared to serve veterans, and view this kind of work as an extension of the work that I was doing before. So, you know, in the Navy, you know, we had a lot of delivered a lot more babies, did a lot more pediatric type work, different sort of population now, but they're still veterans, and being a veteran, it's unbelievably rewarding work for me to continue my work with veterans.
We're speaking with retired U.S. Navy Captain Patrick Kelly, who is now the director of the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, it seems like 29 years you took care of our military, and now you're taking care of our veterans. There's a lot more of them and a lot to do, isn't there?
You know, it's a continuation of the kind of work that I was doing previously, and there's a lot of important work that we need to do on behalf of veterans. We have a staff that I'm very, very proud of in Minneapolis. You know, we have we're doing a lot of great groundbreaking type research. We have a very large educational component, and we're delivering a lot of great health care, not only in Minneapolis, but in 14 community-based outpatient clinics around the state of Minnesota. So it's a challenge, but it's very rewarding and I believe very important work.
Captain, how are you lucky enough to get with the VA and then be able to move back home?
Well, that's a great question. When I retired out of San Diego, I was very specifically hoping to come back to the Midwest where, you know, my parents, brothers and sisters, my whole family still lives up in this area. So it happened that at the time that I was leaving military service, the director position at the Sioux Falls VA became available. So I spent a couple of rewarding years in Sioux Falls. And then my boss asked me if I would like to come to Minneapolis. And of course, this being my home and this being a dream job, I was very much welcome that. So I started here in June, been on the job 6 months, and loving every minute of it. It's very rewarding, very good work.
Captain, I'm sure that's a big outfit out there out by the airport, and it's a big job. What have you learned in the first 6 months about the Minneapolis VA?
Well, I've learned that it is harder in a larger organization to really get to know all the staff and all the programs as well as I did at a smaller facility like Sioux Falls. Although I've also learned we have a very senior, long-standing, dedicated group of physicians and nurses and others who really know their programs, whether they're research programs, training new physicians and nurses, delivering health care to veterans, mental health services, primary care, surgical services across the board. It's reassuring for me to know that we have a staff that really knows how to do their work and succeeds every day in doing so. It makes my job that much easier.
Captain, a lot of our listeners know that I go out to the VA hospital because I'm a service disabled veteran from Vietnam due to Agent Orange. But a lot of my buddies, and I was one of them until a few years ago, I didn't want to go to the VA hospital. I thought, take care of the guys that lost arms and legs and were really hurt. And a county veteran service officer came to me one day, and he asked me a few questions about type 2 diabetes and some other things, and he said, come with me. And reluctantly, I went. But what would you say to our veterans that say, take care of the young guys, take care of the guys that are really hurt?
You know, Tom, that's a great question, and I do hear that a lot. And what I would tell veterans of all ages is that we are going to take care of the younger veterans, but we're also going to take care of the Vietnam-era veterans and the Korean War-era veterans and others. We have the capacity to do all of that, and in fact, we get paid based on the number of veterans that we see. So we are up to almost 100,000 veterans who are enrolled in our healthcare system here in Minneapolis. And the more veterans we enroll, the more revenue it generates, the more programs we can stand up. So we are absolutely going to take care of the younger veterans, but we want to take care of those other veterans as well, and we can.
So is it working, Captain? Are my generation coming in now?
Well, you know, I just looked at some data before the show, Tom, and in the last 4 years, the number of Vietnam era veterans who've started care at the VA has increased by 6,000 veterans. So I don't know entirely what to attribute that to, but we are trying to get the word out through a variety of means that, you know, just as you and I talked about, we want to take care of Vietnam-era veterans and other veterans of all ages because we have the capacity. We have now branched out into a number of areas in rural Minnesota, and we're doing a number of other things to include telehealth services and home care, contract nursing homes. So we are trying to get the word out that no matter where you live, we're going to have some ability to take care of you. And Vietnam-era veterans are getting the word because we have seen a lot more in the last several years.
Captain, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you a few more questions about the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. We're speaking with Patrick J. Kelly, the new director of the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with the new director of the Minneapolis VA, retired U.S. Navy Captain Patrick Kelly. Captain, I want to ask you, if all the listeners know I'm a Vietnam vet, but things at the VA, they've seemed to have changed a lot over the last 40 years.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. We always sort of deal with the issue of what people perceive to be the old VA. And so what's different? What's changed? And so, you know, in the middle 80s, there was a doctor who led the VA. His name was Ken Kaiser, and Ken really focused on the issue of transparency, continuous improvement, making sure that, you know, veterans know what services they're getting and are being very forthright and honest, and really evolving like the rest of healthcare from an inpatient-focused service to outpatient services. And so one of the things that we will find, what we know now, is that the VA really leads the nation in terms of transparency. We are out in terms of the quality data. Everybody knows, and we compete very favorably with local community hospitals in terms of the quality of care that we provide to veterans. You know, so that started really almost 30 years ago, and that has evolved nicely. The other thing that we have a big advantage of in the VA is that as a large integrated healthcare delivery system, we are able to do things. And one of those things, for example, is to have an electronic health record that we can use across our system. You know, we could afford to do an electronic health record system in a system that big that now allows us, when a veteran goes from one place to another, we have good visibility of what their healthcare needs are, what their medications are, and we can treat that veteran where they are because we have this electronic health record capability and the ability to see electronically what their needs are. Are they due for some sort of a vaccination? Do they need some sort of care that we can call them in for, some sort of a study? So that has made a big difference. The other thing that has evolved, and Tom, I know when you came home from Vietnam, you know, the support that you received as a veteran wasn't the greatest, right? I mean, let's be honest. Over the last many years, the support from our country for veterans has really made a difference in our ability to provide, to be resourced and to provide the kind of care that we want to provide. So over the last several years, you know, Secretary Shinseki, the president, what I have found is that while many federal agencies have struggled with funding issues, you know, sequestration, continuing resolutions, in some cases laying off their staff, in the VA, we have continued to receive adequate funding. We've grown our programs. We have been able to make improvements because of the level of commitment we've received from our leadership that has allowed us to continue to be the best healthcare system that we can be. And so a lot of good things have happened over the years. But I think this continued commitment from the country and from our leadership towards veterans has really made a big difference in VA healthcare.
We're speaking with the new director of the Minneapolis VA, retired U.S. Navy Captain Patrick Kelly, on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, technology seems to have taken hold, and I've seen personally where I think it's called My Health Vet. I can go online and order prescriptions. I can go online and send a message to my doctor. Technology's changed it, even the VA,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, so I'm a user of our system as well. I use My Healthy Vet just like you do, Tom. And I think, you know, what that's allowed us to do is to, you know, we can get our prescriptions filled online. We don't have to come in to visit our doctor. We can send them a note. They will respond back to us. We're doing a lot of care in the home. I mean, that's been one of the things in a rural state like Minnesota, where we have a lot of rural veterans. We have done telehealth to include home telehealth, where veterans actually have some telehealth capability in their home. And that's resulted in you know, saving those veterans from having to go to nursing homes. We go to the homes. We deliver home-based primary care. And of course, we're doing a lot of very sophisticated clinical things now with our new technology. You know, we do Da Vinci robotics now, robotic surgery. So there's a lot of technological improvements that have made a big difference.
Captain, we've just got a couple of minutes left. I know you're putting on a major push to reach out to veterans in rural communities. And are there other new programs on the horizon?
Yeah, Tom, thanks. So a couple of the things very briefly. We are opening a chronic pain management center in the next several months, where we will have a large staff, and we will be the hub in Minneapolis and treat veterans throughout our system in Minneapolis for chronic pain. A big problem for veterans, and chronic pain is a very difficult issue, but we're standing up a new chronic pain management center. You know, we're standing up an integrated breast health center. You know, women veterans, we now have over 5,000 women veterans enrolled with us, and women's health care issues have become more important. So we have an integrated breast health center, and we're also standing up a new hybrid operating room, which will allow us to do more sophisticated and larger surgical procedures, which, again, those are things that we had previously sent veterans out into the community to do. Well, we're now going to do more of those procedures in the VA. So those are just a few that I mentioned, but there's a ton of them. We're making some good improvements.
Captain, it must be exciting to be the director of the Minneapolis VA. There's lots to do and lots coming up, isn't
there? You bet.
Well, sir, I hope you have a, hope you stay with us for a long time, and I hope it continues to improve. It's a fantastic facility, and I'd urge all our veterans out there, if you haven't been down to see it, go talk to your county veteran service officer and get down to the Minneapolis VA hospital. Any final thoughts for our listeners, Captain?
Well, Tom, again, thanks for allowing me the opportunity to talk about veterans' health care. Just as a final thought, if you're thinking about getting some health care, we would like to be your provider of choice. We have a good system. We have good doctors, and we have capacity. So come on down. See if you're eligible and get your care from us.
Captain, thanks for joining us today. That was the new director of the Minneapolis VA, retired Navy Captain Patrick Kelly at Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Sergeant Major, as you know, I had a chance recently to speak with General Nash, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, regarding some of the accomplishments of the National Guard in 2013, as well as what he sees on the way ahead coming up for 2014. As the senior enlisted member of the Minnesota National Guard, what are you focusing on for the new year?
That's a great question, Tom. As you know, my role in the organization is basically to advise General Nash on issues affecting the enlisted force. Anything from the readiness of our soldiers and airmen, their morale and discipline, to the levels of performance and training, how we're recruiting, and even recommending assignments. So within the priorities established by the Adjutant General, I'm going to be focusing my efforts primarily in three areas this year: professionalism of the NCO Corps, soldier and airman care, and diversity implementation.
Sergeant Major, can you tell us some more about these three areas and why you chose to focus on these in 2014?
I'd love to, Tom. As you recall, when Major General Nash spoke about the future of the Minnesota National Guard, he addressed things like the fiscal issues we're going to be facing associated with the budget cuts, you know, and the uncertainty of the future in regard to our force structure and even missioning going forward. So my focus will be on the areas that will posture our enlisted force best for whatever we're going to be facing. So first of all, by focusing on professionalism of the NCO Corps, we're going to help ensure that we have a strong and adaptable, educated and experienced Corps of leaders who are ready not only to lead and mentor our junior soldiers and airmen, but who are equally ready to assist our officer corps as we accomplish our mission. And as you know, this is an ever-changing and uncertain and complex environment that we find ourselves in, so we're going to need that.
That sounds great, Sergeant Major. Can you tell us about your second focus area?
Sure. As I said, I'm focusing on soldier and airmen care as well. So as with most organizations, our greatest resource is our people, and they've been tested again and again, as you know, over this past decade of war. I can tell you that right now we have the most experienced, best-trained, most combat-proven force we've ever had in the Minnesota National Guard, and of course we want to keep it that way. So we're working really hard to provide our mentorship opportunities from our more experienced NCOs to our newer service members. And we're also providing career development and employment assistance for our great soldiers and airmen. Resilience, obviously, is one of those areas that we're focusing on as well as we look at care of our soldiers and airmen. This helps not only our service members, but also their families and their employers and the communities, too.
This really is a joint effort between service providers, the community through the Yellow Ribbon Networks, and the Minnesota National Guard. It takes everyone to ensure our service members remain ready. What about your third area of focus, Sergeant Major?
Well, my final focus area I have for 2014, diversity implementation, is particularly important to me. Although we're doing really well diversifying our force at our junior levels, the recruiters are really bringing in a lot of diverse candidates, our entire force needs to look like the communities we serve, and we're not quite there yet. Particularly with our mid and our senior level enlisted ranks, we have a little ways to go. So I'm going to be focusing on ensuring our key development positions are open to both genders wherever possible, and that we can provide mentorship and career planning and development counseling to all our soldiers and airmen, ensuring that each of our service members knows what they need to do to succeed in our organization. Further, being able to place our female soldiers into combat units this year for the first time is going to provide opportunities for experience and broadening that really we haven't had before. As the Women in Combat Initiative continues to expand, we have ever-increasing opportunities to ensure we have the right person in the right position at the right time for the organization, really regardless of gender. And with our tightening budgets and the concern of our shrinking force, we really need to employ this type of talent management in our organization, utilizing all the talents and skills and abilities of all of our service members. As our force continues to diversify, we're going to collectively possess the backgrounds and the experiences and skills and abilities so that we can meet any and all of the challenges that the future holds.
These sound like significant and important areas to focus on. Any final thoughts for us today, Sergeant Major?
Yeah, as we start out this new year, I'd like to take a minute to thank everyone for the support shown to the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard, not only this last year, but for many years, from the people of Minnesota. We've been the best National Guard in the country, and we're able to do what we do because of support from our state. And thank you, too, Tom, for all the efforts that you've had to highlight our force and to inform Minnesota about its National Guard. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you for joining us again today, Sergeant Major.
Thanks, Tom.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Annette Kuiper, Major John Wisniewski, Patrick Kelly, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we trace the Red Bull's route through World War II with a veteran who lived it and look toward the future with their new commander. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.